Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video, slots, sports betting through Points Bet throughout Chicagoland. Get yourself set for the Preakness this weekend. Download that Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. With Tyler, I'm Cap. We say good morning to Shea W. Norling.
Good morning, boys. How is everybody doing in there?
All good, Snorling. Man. Rock and roll.
All right, let's get right into it. We'll start with a Bears question, and then I'll get back to the question Cap posed in the last segment. Some interesting comments, though, regarding Bears fourth-round rookie running back Roschon Johnson. Ryan Poles told Cynthia Freeland of NFL Plus that in his team's 53 simulations, Roschon wasn't available in the fourth round in a single one of them. He said he has no idea how Roschon ended up being available when they were up in the fourth. And former Texas teammate Bijan Robinson said, quote, "Roschon is a god. He's the other running back in this class, and I don't think people should overlook the talent he has and the skill set that he brings." Shot or no shot, Roschon Johnson will be the steal of the draft.
I mean, I haven't studied every pick for every team.
Are you talking about for the Bears class or the every single class?
The draft.
The draft.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that answer. I mean, nobody thought George Kittle was going to be the steal of the draft at the fifth round by the 49ers, and he turned out to be an amazing player. And by the way, he was on Waddle and Sylvie. You could check out the podcast. I can't answer that. I know he's got great reviews. And I believe it was Yerk who said, draft the backup to Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Bears were able to do just that. So I hope he is. I hope he's the steal of the draft. I can't answer that. So I'll just say shot. Okay.
I'm going to say no shot here. And it's not that he won't have a fantastic career, but and he may get out to the fastest sprint out of anyone in this class, but I would say no shot because of the position he plays. We see how running backs get recycled. Can you say that a guy who may not be on your team in 5 years is the steal of the draft?
That's a great question.
So I will say no shot.
All right. I want to go back to what Cap asked a segment ago, and I'm just going to straight up ask you, and it's not even a Levine for Ja Morant straight up, but just a shot or no shot. If you're running an NBA team, now's the time to buy low on Ja Morant.
Yeah, especially in this city with gun violence such a problem. Yeah, no, I don't want him.
I say shot. There is a shot that you can buy low if you're in the right situation. Not every situation is the right situation, though. Like, are you sending him to Charlotte? I don't think that would be the right situation. But if you're on a team, and if you brought him into and again, I don't think this would happen, but if you brought him into a Warriors-like culture, he can't get away with any of that stuff there because there is an accountability in that locker room.
Wow, you had their coach come out yesterday and said our whole season got sidetracked because of Draymond punching Jordan Poole. We can never recover from it.
He didn't shoot Jordan Poole.
No, but he short-circuited their season. But their coach said that yesterday.
But isn't
we
that
we never recovered.
And listen, Jordan Poole, was he getting away with stuff? Did he think he got paid all this money that all of a sudden he was entitled to do whatever he wanted and screw around with the team? Maybe Draymond set a precedent there that you can't get away with that stuff. So, okay, maybe you derailed this season, but maybe you're not going to derail future seasons because Draymond set a precedent there.
Yeah, right now I cannot have him on my team. I cannot. I cannot say to my fan base, you know what, I know we're in a city with all these gun problems and people dying at record numbers. He's a really good player. Bring him in. We hope it won't happen again. No chance. 2 years from now, he's been completely out of, not in any trouble, and he's a different guy. We can have that discussion.
But then you can't buy low.
You can't, yeah.
You can't buy low at that point.
Right now is the moment of maximum leverage.
Yeah.
Where you can go out, and if you believe you can insulate him, you get 5 years younger, and you get a significantly better player.
Just like I wouldn't have taken Deshaun Watson. I'm not.
That's a very different thing. We can't make that comp, and you know it.
Either one. It doesn't matter. I don't have to compare them. I'm not. I have to stand for something in my organization. I do. I'm not taking him. No, thank you. Pass.
In a buy-low situation, I'm taking him. If you have the right infrastructure in place, no doubt.
No, thank you. Pass. And I'm not telling you he's not an amazingly talented player.
He might also be a great person. He's just kind of dumb.
No, he's not a great person. He's not a great person. He's not.
He's young, man.
He's 23 years old.
I'm not telling you that he can't change. He's not a great person. Two gun incidents in 2 months. He is all the other stuff we're hearing, assaulting a store worker in a shopping mall, waving a gun at a kid in a pickup game. No, he's not a great person.
Now he's not, but can he become one?
I'm not rolling the dice with my multi-billion-dollar franchise and having my fan base go.
But why do you say multi? Whether or not John Morant's here, even if he came here and screwed up, there's still a multi-billion-dollar franchise.
I'm making a statement to my fan base that there's more than just talent. I am not going to have moms and dads going, I'm not letting you wear that guy's jersey because he's a horrible person involved in gun issues. Not doing it. Sorry.
But we don't know. I don't know that he's horrible. He hasn't done anything that I don't think he can recover from.
I'm not saying he can't recover.
He just has to grow up. He's 23.
I'm not bringing him in right now. I'm not. I'm making a statement. Not doing it.
I would. I think it's worth the chance.
So you are willing to overlook most anything because they have talent. And I'm not. I am not. Not going to do it. Shake.
All right, there are a number of decisions we can relitigate in recent history with the Bulls, but I want to talk about this one. The Vooch trade. The Bulls gave up a first-round pick in this draft for Vooch and do not have so much as a playoff series win to speak for it. So shot or no shot, the Vooch trade set the Bulls back more than the Jimmy Butler trade.
Whew. Well, especially if they don't get him re-signed. Like, I'm hearing a bunch of teams that are going to make a run at him. Now, the question is, if you're Vooch, and he says he likes it here, mm-hmm. he's comfortable, he likes his team. If you're Vooch, why are you re-signing here? Like, if there's a really good team out there that feels like they're close, whether that's Miami, whether that's the Knicks, whether that's Milwaukee, I'm just picking teams that are close. Mm-hmm. If they're going to pay you reasonably close money to what the Bulls are going to give you, why would you come back here? And if you don't get him re-signed here, yeah, then it sets you back because you gave up all those assets, you won nothing with him, and now you don't even have him.
Right. I think with Vooch, if you're comfortable here, if you like it here, fine, I guess. If that supersedes winning and perhaps even money, too, like, fine. If that's what it takes for you to stay here, sure. But for me, like, I think the Jimmy trade set this franchise back way more. You talk about trading a bona fide playoff killer mm-hmm. in Jimmy Butler, a guy mm-hmm. that goes out and has one playoff series for teams. Mm-hmm. Like, you can talk about, oh, they gave up Wendell, he's improved. Oh, they gave up the pick for Franz Wagner. He's been really good to start his NBA career. And you gave up the 11th pick in this year's draft. But I think losing Jimmy is way worse than losing whatever you lost in the Vooch trade. Even if you got LaVine back, what has LaVine done for you? Hasn't won you any playoff games. Like, it has been a disastrous trade and one of the worst that we've seen in this city's history because Jimmy has gone out and proven that he is a superstar in this league, and there are very few people that you want to hit your wagon to in the playoffs than Jimmy Butler right now.
And he's on what, his fourth team now?
Fourth team, correct. Yep. Bulls, Wolves, Sixers, and now Heat.
And has won nothing.
He's won an Eastern Conference final.
I don't know, they gave out rings for that.
Is he tricking?
Jimmy Butler is taking teams with very little talent at times to places that they could never expect to get. Look at how dead that Heat team was walking into the playoffs. Well, they almost lost to the Bulls.
Okay, but if that front office that we have in our town here whether that was Gar and Pax when they had Jimmy, had they known how to develop Lauri Markkanen, or had they known how to surround Jimmy with more talent, maybe that does take us to a different level. The guys we have here now, Lauri, get out, and now he's an all-star. So this is an organization filled with missteps. Both turned out to be...
Right. Both are bad trades.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But so, I think the Jimmy one set it back more.
Shea.
All right, there's been a coaching call in the NBA of late. Four of the last six Coach of the Year winners fired, including the last six coaches with the best records in the league, all fired. And, of course, Doc Rivers took on 6 feet of professional dirt yesterday when the Sixers decided, you're fired. Shot or no shot? In a player's league, the coaches are getting too much of the blame.
Yeah, that's a shot. James Harden, who you pay, well, I don't know, whatever he gets, $40 million, $45 million, whatever he makes. James Harden had 9 points in an elimination game. Nine. Mm-hmm. And was terrible. Embiid had more points. He was not much better. He's the league MVP. I didn't know Doc was playing out on the perimeter and missing jump shots. In the end, it's a player's league. Everybody says that. Player's league. Okay, Doc's gone. What did the Sixers do before Doc? Nothing. What have they done with Doc? Nothing. So, yeah, I think that absolutely the coaches get too much blame. Is there times you need to make a change? Sure. Jim Boylan needed to be fired. He should have never been hired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a players' league. The players don't perform, you're not going to win.
Yeah, I think it's a shot that we overrated a little bit too much. But I think two things can be true here as well. Like, Doc needed to go because you lost that game six because of some tactical things down the stretch where you just let Jason Tatum get whatever he wanted down the stretch there. And that partially falls on Doc as well for not scheming up and not getting your guys ready for that second half. When you get blown out like that in the second half, part of that is also on coaching as well. For the adjustments that you don't make. That was a close game. You were up, what, 9 points in the first half against Boston as well in that game seven? Like, that should have been closed out in either game six or game seven. So partially it falls on you, but I think both things can be true there. But yes, definitely a shot that the coaches get too much blame.
Shay.
All right, quickly, there was some controversy yesterday about Aaron Judge making looks over to the dugout during an at-bat. And then last night, Yankee pitcher Domingo Germán got ejected for a sticky substance on his hand. Shot or no shot? The Yankees are cheating.
Boy, it's a shot because of the Domingo Germán situation yesterday where the umpire came out and said, that's the stickiest hand I have ever felt. There is no chance that was rosin. Now, is he doing that on his own? I would think so. I don't think that Brian Cashman's coming down to the GM to the locker room going, hey, here, I got this stuff over in Europe. Put this on your hands. You'll get a ton more spin. I don't think it's a Yankee contrived thing. I think it was Domingo Germán doing it on his own.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's a shot, but it's only off of the Germán part. It's not off of the Aaron Judge part here. I think that I have no problem with what was happening with Aaron Judge. I don't think there was any foul play there the night before. But with Germán, when there's very conclusive evidence there, yes, that's a shot that the Yankees were cheating in that regard.
All right, we will come back and go around the National Football League. Our friend Albert Breer tweeted something this morning that I want to ask the guys about. It's very, very interesting and could impact the Chicago Bears next season. We'll get to that in our Around the NFL segment next.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
All right, time to go around the National Football League. It's one of our favorite segments each and every day because there's always stuff going on. Tyler's in for Hoodie today. Shay, can I start with the first one?
Whatever you want to do, Cappy. It's your show.
So, it's our show.
Your world.
Albert Breer, our friend who was on the show yesterday, tweeted how excited he was to watch the NBA draft lottery last night. And he said, when you see what goes on this coming season with Drake May and Caleb Williams at the top of the draft and the teams that are at some point in the season going, all right, this one ain't happening. We're having a bad year. There's going to be an NFL draft lottery. You cool? You guys cool with that?
Yeah, I think, well, you look at, too, the incentive of tanking, because you don't want a league of teams that aren't trying, but I think that the lottery system is the best way to do it, because it kind of allows to... Now, I think the one problem with it is that you let too many teams into the lottery. I think it should be maybe 5 to 7 candidates that are actually up for that number one. You shouldn't, like, the Bulls last night should not have been given a chance to be rewarded with the number one pick,
okay,
in my opinion.
Shay, what do you think?
The lottery's so interesting, and like the way the NBA has flattened it, I know they had the aim of dispelling tanking, but like watching the Pistons be the worst team in the NBA by a long shot, I know not by record, but you could tell watching the games, and then get rewarded with a 50-50 shot at the fifth pick, that just, it doesn't feel like that's the way the NFL's built. The NFL has such great competitive parity because the worst teams get rewarded. You get the softer schedule. You get the higher pick, guaranteed. I think that's important to keeping the competitive balance that the NFL has.
I think it's the schedule more so than the... Because, like, if you're drafting one versus drafting two versus drafting five in the NFL, I don't think the drop-off is as severe, because you find guys in the fifth, sixth round in the NFL, undrafted free agents, that come in and make impact. It's more of an onus on the general managers
okay.
in football.
So let's talk about the Bears. If they start 1-5, I'm not saying they will, and I heaven forbid... You wake up, they're 1-5. Are you immediately at that point, Justin hasn't played well, obviously, because they're 1-5. You're going, all right, that's it. Shut it down. I know you, my friend Shay. At 1-5, blow it up. That's what you would be. That's your mantra.
1-5, I wouldn't be thrilled. If you start this season 1-5, I think we have our answer on Justin Fields is where I'll be.
No doubt.
What if he got injured?
But that's a different situation. But we can't. What are we going to do? Capitheticals all day? That's a different situation.
That's the nightmare, though, for the Bears, is if Justin Fields gets hurt and you don't know.
Right. You have to, at the end of the year, yes, he can do it or no, he can't. Oh, God. He got injured? Now that's a nightmare scenario. Because what if you truly believe in him? He's the guy. Oh, God. He's out how many weeks? With whatever the injury is.
And then you'd have to pick up his fifth-year option.
And then you don't take one of the quarterbacks because you believe in the guy, and you trade out of the pick, and he turns out not to be. Like, that's why they pay the big bucks to Ryan Poles.
Right.
To make those decisions. But there could be a lottery. I could see that happening.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think, because what? It's just, and baseball, I think, is shifting to a lottery. Is it this year or in the near future?
I think it's this year.
So there are... The NFL would be the last sport without one. And I know they like to be different because they are different.
Well, think about the money that would be generated by the show NFL lottery?
You think the schedule release was a big show? Wait till the lottery in the NFL.
Oh, my goodness. We'd be sitting here in Chicago, if we were eligible, going, Caleb Williams, let's go!
And you know what? Since they like to be different, you know what they would do? They would televise the whole thing. I bet they would.
They would.
Because it would just draw that many more eyeballs to it.
It'd be insane. Mm-hmm. Shay.
All right. I want to start with this. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk kind of put this out there today that Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be restructuring some of his contract with the Jets. That we know. But Florio presented an option that would irritate Rodgers' agents, but might make the Jets happy. He could actually lessen the dollar figure that's owed to him to make their life easier in free agency. Would he do that?
I think he would. I think he is so hell-bent on quieting all his critics and saying to the Packers, see, if you'd have gotten along with me, look what I did. Yeah, 100%. 100% he'll do it.
I mean, this is not this is the Aaron Rodgers revenge spite tour here. And if, I mean, he doesn't need more money. He's financially set with whatever he needs moving forward. If you can shave a couple mil here, a couple mil there, just to stick it to the Packers and to stick it to all of your detractors, yeah, I totally buy that he would do something like that. That is Aaron Rodgers in a nutshell right there.
Agreed. Shay.
Vikings did something interesting and rather conspicuous. On their Twitter account, their previous header featured a bunch of their star players. They updated it. It says 2023 right in the middle, and they took Dalvin Cook off the screen. It's not like they removed all the running backs. Alexander Mattison is now on their header.
Okay, so that means he's out. They have got cap issues. They may know something about Dalvin Cook that we don't know. Maybe he's not as healthy as he used to be. Maybe he's lost his stuff. I don't know. But obviously, with cap issues, they need to find a way to move money. Running back room.
Right. It's the easy fix there. And listen, like, usually these social media graphics are foretelling because they have a little bit of intel when they're given direction on what to put on stuff. So I think it is 1,000% plausible that we don't see Dalvin Cook in a Viking uniform next year. And guess what? I don't blame him because Alexander Mattison's been pretty damn good, too, behind him. So if he's given a full-time opportunity, you may not see much of a drop-off, if a drop-off even at all.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, 1,173 yards last year with 8 touchdowns, 39 catches.
Mm-hmm. Good player.
Good player. But 27, going to turn 28 before the season starts.
You might get the same out of Mattison.
You might, absolutely.
Isn't it just also kind of fascinating what's going on with the Vikings? All they're doing is bleeding playmakers. They traded Za'Darius Smith for Wendy's Baconator, and they're going to drop Dalvin Cook. They have all these cap issues. They're looking at life after Kirk Cousins. Why should we think anything of this team?
Well, they also did add a playmaker in the draft with Jordan Addison. I think they're being smart. Like, they know where their money's going, right?
Correct.
They're about to hand out a record-setting contract to Justin Jefferson.
Correct. He'll be the highest-paid receiver of all time.
Yes. So that's where your money's going, and you kind of have to tailor around that. You're going to have to cut some corners in certain places to make sure that this is something that you can plausibly do.
That defense is going to be terrible. How about Devontae Adams talking about Jimmy Garoppolo? And, Cap, these quotes are unbelievable. We know he talked about wanting to prove he could do it without Aaron, and then he added a little bit of awkwardness into him and Jimmy G. This first quote, the front office thinks this is the best bet for us right now to put us in a position to be urgent. We don't see eye to eye on what we think is best for us right now. That's the beginning of the awkwardness. It gets worse. Quote, I'm going to have to buy into this and try to be as optimistic as possible, Adams said. It's not what I expected to happen, but it's something that's the reality now. And the reality being Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback. The final quote, it all depends on the style of ball that we play. If we play a certain brand of ball, I can get Garoppolo to conform to whatever. But if we use him a certain type of way, it's going to be tough for us to maximize who we should be this year.
Like, would he have taken that trade if he knew Derek Carr was going to be out of there in a year? He got the biggest contract ever by a wide receiver. He's a 3-in-a-row first-team All-Pro. Like, it's worked out.
Yeah, it's worked out. I mean, he grew up a Raider fan, too, so he's closer to family. I'm sure all of that plays into it as well. I think he still takes the deal, but he maybe looks at some other options along the way a little bit harder if he was looking for another deal, if he was trying to get out of Green Bay. I think he's open to a few more teams at that point.
I don't even think it's wanting to be with Derek. Like, he did add, I didn't come here to just be with Derek. It is to really try and have a shot and change this organization. I just think he doesn't want to be with Jimmy G. I mean, you talk about taking a professional dump on somebody. Those quotes are it.
Yeah, trying to be as optimistic as possible. I'm going to have to buy. I mean, he feels like he's being forced into this. And listen, I think Devontae Adams can probably make it work with most people. But yeah, this is...
Yeah, he's an amazing player.
Like, Devontae Adams is one of those guys. He's a receiver who can elevate a quarterback. And like with someone like Jimmy G, who you look at him and he's just... He's average, right? Like, I think Devontae Adams can shine up Jimmy G a little bit better than maybe some other receivers.
Yeah, it's... It is an interesting situation to walk in the room then if you're Devontae Adams and there's your quarterback. Hey, thanks for the nice words, jerk.
Jimmy G, yeah, he's Jimmy G.
He's Jimmy G.
He marches to his own beat.
He does.
He gets to look in the mirror.
Last thing on the around the NFL docket today, Joe Burrow talked about his extension. He said he will be thinking of his teammates who are also due to get some money when he signs his. That obviously talking about his wide receivers, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, others.
Yeah, he's that guy. And you brought this up in our pre-show meeting where you said, is there anybody in sports that has, not just in the room, the public persona to the everyman and every woman, where he's cool, he dresses hip, cool, right, has fun with it, and looks to be like that guy. Boy, I'd like to hang out with that guy. He looks like a good dude.
Yeah. I mean,
the whole package.
Joe Burrow, like, he gets it, right?
Right.
It seems like he gets it. He knows, and this also shows to me, now he's got to prove it when he ultimately signs the deal,
mm-hmm,
but this proves to me that he's about winning, and he's a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, he's been to conference championships, but this shows me he's about winning.
The NFL stuff I was telling you guys I was reading yesterday, there are NFL people, not fans, NFL execs, that said if they had the number one pick in the NFL draft of any player, mm-hmm, they would not take Patrick Mahomes, they would take Joe Burrow. Which I found interesting.
It's interesting. I don't subscribe to that. I would still take Mahomes, but to me, what Joe Burrow's doing, this was for T. Higgins. Like, there's going to be money for Ja'Marr Chase, but this is for T. Higgins.
Correct.
And he I think is showing you what he thinks of T. Higgins. That's a guy who he can go up and get a football.
Are we all in to try and win? Then we got to hang on to these special, yep, players.
Mm-hmm. All right. It makes him look better.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. Connor McKnight. Brought to you by Felco on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Next.
Here's today's headlines with Captain Jay Hood.
Cubs lost their fourth straight last night to the Astros in Houston, 7-3. It's their longest losing streak of the year. 8-17, their last 25. 19-23 on the year. Fourth in the Central. White Sox pick up a win behind a strong start from Lance Lynn, 8-3 over Cleveland. Lynn, 7 innings, 1 earned, 7 Ks. First of 13 straight against AL Central opponents. Time to make some hay. San Antonio Spurs won the NBA draft lottery in the right to draft French star Victor Wembanyama. Bulls pick came in where it was guessed they would, 11th. They will convey it to the Magic. Final payment on the Nikola Vucevic trade. Lakers made a comeback effort last night in Denver, but fell 132-126 to lose Game 1. Eastern Conference Finals start tonight with the Celtics and Heat at 7:30. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Rolling on a Cap Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. Tyler Aki is with me today. Hoodie is off. Please say a prayer for the Hood family. Police officer Ariana Preston, who was brutally gunned down last week. That is Hoodie's first cousin, and they were very, very close. His family devastated. So please, please, please. And if you go to Hoodie's social media feed on Twitter at TweetJHood, there is a fundraiser for her family that you can support if you can. That would be greatly appreciated. Hoodie, we got your back, big man. Jay Moore's at the controls. Shay Norling's our executive producer. Connor McKnight is our White Sox insider. You hear him do play-by-play, pregame, postgame. Guy does not stop. Brought to you by Felco on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Connor?
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Good morning, my friend. How are you? Do we have our friend Connor there? Connor?
Hi, Cap.
There you are. There you are. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, will you do me a quick favor and everybody else listening? Will you give that website for the Hood and his family and everybody else just one more time? I'm going to write it down and we can give it out.
Yeah, it is on his Twitter feed. So his Twitter feed is at TweetJHood. And you can just click on the link right on his Twitter page and it will help support her family, which obviously going through a horrible time right now with the death of Officer Ariana Preston, who was Hoodie's first cousin.
Our thoughts with them, obviously, and do what we can to support them. That's the most important thing we'll do today is read that website a couple of times, I think.
No question about it. Okay, you and I were discussing, I was on vacation last week, so the last time you and I were talking, we were arguing about Luis Roberts. Since he was yanked from the game, he has been a much, much better player. What are you seeing from the White Sox that gives you some encouragement, besides him, that maybe over the next 12, they have 13 straight against the division, and they could start to climb back toward 500?
Well, yeah, Cap, just for a little context here, Luis Robert hasn't just been great. He's been maybe the best player in baseball in May. Nobody's got a higher slugging percentage since the month of May started. That's a 939 number for Robert. Nobody's got a higher weighted runs created plus. That's a 278, and he's hitting 425 in the month of May. Luis Robert has arguably, and it's not that tough an argument to make, been the best player in baseball since the calendar flipped to May, and that's been huge for the White Sox. It would be great if that had resulted in a couple more wins, obviously. So then, like you said, we look to the rest of the roster. I think that the pitching seems to be getting slowly better, and that could be getting better faster, but it's getting slowly better, and that's a good thing. Lance Lynn looked vintage last night, which is good. Giolito's pitching well. Michael Kopech's going to get an extra day before his next start, and hopefully that helps refresh the batteries a bit, too. Jake Berger is, you know, if he's sitting there in the eighth spot as a designated hitter until Eloy Jimenez comes back, you could do a lot worse in terms of what your eight hitter looks like in the American League. And I think Berger is, he swung at every pitch last night, guys. He swung at every pitch and did a whole bunch of damage. I don't know how sustainable it is, but it's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. So Berger's there for you. And I think the other thing, with Yoan Moncada back and now this defense, this White Sox defense starting to even itself out with how good Moncada is at third, I think that should help a lot here going forward. But the question is going to be just how steady can that pitching get, and can this offense continue to do what it did last night? It's a whole bunch of hits, just enough power to make it work, and not a lot of walks. It's a difficult place to be, but it's a very doable thing to do.
Connor, do you think that when Grifol pulled Robert from the game, like that was the turning point for him, or is it just Luis Robert is now Luis Robert? He just needed a little bit of a warm up.
I think it's a little bit of both things, Tyler. You can't help but sort by the date that he was pulled, right? And then go afterward, and those stats, all the stats I just read you on Robert, are even better if you go after the day that he was pulled from that game and had the hamstrings and the miscommunication, right? And I've mentioned this before. I think it's a huge feather in Robert's cap and also with the coaching staff that while that miscommunication existed, right, and that was a problem, it's very clearly been worked through. And that's all you can really ask of coaches and players, especially in a situation where everybody's new to one another. And the coaching, right, the how to hit sliders on the outside part of the plate or maybe spit on them a little bit, make sure you're turning on breaking balls that are fat over the heart of the plate, all that kind of stuff. They've been working on that for weeks, you know, up to the benching. April was brutal for Robert for the large part, and that kind of work on how to fix those things was going on for at least 2 weeks prior to when this whole thing happened. So I think it's column A and column B, and I think you can't discredit the idea that you had some coaches get through to a player in the very least, not like a, you know, come to Jesus meeting or anything, but they learned how to communicate as coach and player better, and that's clearly spurred production.
So as we look at this team 13 games under 500, at what point does Jerry Reinsdorf to his management team, all right, we're spending $180 whatever million dollars. This is not working. Is there some type of a clock ticking in the executive suite where, guys, we got 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is, or we're going to have to start doing some drastic things? Because I think that's what the fan wants to know.
Yeah, I think, you know, deadlines make deals, right? And I think we've seen in this town over the last couple of years, both sides really, that while that deadline, that trade deadline exists, that can help and hurt some things, right? I mean, you've had situations on the north side where you're trying to get rid of a whole bunch of players and not everybody gets moved because you can't spread your attention on all those different deals. If the White Sox are in a mode where they do need to trade and augment this roster, I don't see them being in a spot where they're trying to offload a bunch of, you know, the extended guys, right? I would probably think that they're dealing guys whose deals are expiring or maybe have that option toward the end of things. I think the deadline is the deadline. I just don't see, and I know what it sounds like, guys, and I know I've said it before, and I know a lot of other people have said it, and it offers very little solace to the struggling White Sox fan at this point, but this division just isn't very good. And it's pretty clear to me that as far as talent goes, the White Sox have just enough to win it in this season, and all you've got to do is get in the tournament and see what happens. It would certainly be a better end of the season, I think, pushing and making a run for this than it would kind of bailing on things while you still have players under contract who can perform in this division, right? I mean, I think 6 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we had a sizable amount of people who were willing to trade Luis Robert, and look how what that would feel like now, right? I think the deadline's still the deadline, and I think largely the division tells you so.
Connor, I was at the game Friday, and I heard you on the Jumbotron give out your keys to the game. Fantastic to hear your voice inside the stadium there. But what are your keys to the series?
And by the way, those are brought to you by Lenny File of Hearthside Realtors for the Sox and the Royals.
Well, as we always do, yeah, we'll look up to the next season, or the next series, rather. And As we talk about with Hoodie, Matt Stairs and Ruben Gotay are some pretty interesting players. You know, one on the veteran end of things, and Ruben, of course, at 22. I think David DeJesus is a pretty solid center fielder. Probably has a future in television as well. Just needs a, you know, a good partner to pull him along. But this
all right is, here now.
But this Royals team is a plucky one. What's really funny, guys, is, you know, we do this bit and we name old Royals players or old players on this series. Zach Greinke is the ace of the 2005 Royals, the team that I've been going through.
Is Kevin Apier starting in this series?
Kevin Apier is going to miss a set, but I think you're going to see Jose Lima get a turn, so that should be a lot of fun.
He's
I love
dead.
Jose Lima. One of the gutsiest playoff performances I've ever seen while he was with the Dodgers.
He's dead.
Really, though? Yeah, he is. He is. He's not. He's no longer with us. Still, though, as far as this year's Royals team, you've got to hit bad pitching, fellas. You just when you bring three guys in with ERAs north of six and one of them with an ERA north of eight, you don't want to let a point slip off of those fellas' ERAs. You've got to hit this team. So if you want to make it a slugfest, fine, but you got to bring your powder to the party.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they can keep Steve Balboni in the park.
It's a difficult task, I'll tell you what. It really is.
Won't be tough to keep Hosmer in, though.
He's a fun guy to watch, too. Yeah.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, boys.
Appreciate you. There he is, Connor McKnight on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Brought to you by Felco.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Okay, Lil Wayne did something that I think was out of bounds. We'll get the guys' opinions and yours next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on a Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. 1,000. Bleck and Abdallah in at 10. Carmen and Dion at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. 6 to 6:30 will be Jeff Meller leading into White Sox baseball with Connor. White Sox and Guardians on the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. And I want to give out the website so we can support Jonathan Hood's family. If you're just tuning in, police officer that was murdered last week, that is Hoodie's first cousin, and they were exceptionally, exceptionally close. And they are trying to raise funds to help support the family. There are obviously some costs that they're incurring, that they're going through. She will be buried this morning. Hoodie will be back with us tomorrow. It's a complicated website. I'm going to give it out, but I'm going to put it on my social media as well. It's Barackos, B-A-R-R-A-C-O-S, Backs Blue 23. Barackos, Backs Blue 23.itemorder.com. And we will have it on our Twitter feed. Again, if you can help, it's a horrific situation. The police officer that was murdered last week, that is Jonathan Hood's first cousin, and they were exceptionally close. So, again, anything you can do, we would appreciate it. So, Lil Wayne was in concert.
You a Lil Wayne fan?
No, my kids are.
Okay.
Especially my son Alex loves Lil Wayne. That's just, I'm a Springsteen.
That's probably the first rapper I was introduced to. Was probably Lil Wayne. That, like, if you find my old iPod, it's probably mostly, not mostly Lil Wayne songs, but that's probably like the oldest song I have. It's probably from
like
Lil
who's
Wayne.
The holy grail for you? I said I could drop you into a concert of anybody, living or dead. But that is my music of choice. Who is it?
Travis Scott.
Shay, who's yours?
My music of choice?
I could drop you into a concert of any performer, band, artist, whatever, and go see. Who would it be?
I don't know. I don't really have one standout. I'm more eclectic than that.
Jay
I listen
Moore,
to a lot of
stuff.
You're
the music aficionado on the show. Who is it?
I would have loved to see Nirvana perform live.
That would have been awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Very big Nirvana fan.
Like, the one that always sticks out for me, Cap, is if I'd been around for Zeppelin. That would have been the must-see.
Yeah, I had tickets to see Zeppelin, and John Bonham died a week before I was going to see him.
My mom and brother, they were in Atlanta, because my brother was on a college visit at Georgia Tech, and across the street, Prince was performing, and it ended up being the last show Prince ever did.
Oh, my God. Did they go?
They thought about it, and then they're like, maybe not. But now, in hindsight, you wish you did.
So my brother, who's a doctor, he was in med school. He had a test the next day. My brother was the guy, you could tell him that his favorite team is playing tonight for the championship, but he has a test tomorrow. He was valedictorian, high school, college, and med school. He's that guy. Brilliant. And the work ethic to match it. And my parents, rest in peace, said, we have an extra ticket. Do you want to see Frank Sinatra tonight? And that, my brother loves Frank Sinatra. Nope, I got to study for the test. And he would tell you today it's the biggest regret in his life.
Wow.
That he could have gone and he didn't go. Now I got to study, even though he knew he's going to ace the test anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And he never went. So his son, who's now a doctor, same situation. Test the next day, calls my brother and says, yeah, I can go see my all-time favorite, Kanye. I have a ticket, but I'm not going to go. My brother said, don't make the mistake I made. You're a smart kid. You're going to do fine on your test. Go see Kanye. And he did. And so it was the greatest.
Yeah.
For me, it was Springsteen.
Back when it was okay to see Kanye.
I was going to say, if you'd asked me three years ago, Kanye would have been the one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen Bruce a billion times and love him. That would be my favorite. So Lil Wayne's in concert. What did he do, Shay?
He cut the show short because he was upset with the crowd.
So how short did he cut the show? Because, like, Springsteen played 3 hours the other night.
I think Lil Wayne was out there for about 30 minutes and then walked off because he was annoyed by the crowd.
Were they throwing things at him, or he just didn't like their
spiritless crowd?
Yeah, not enough energy for him.
What happened was he was promoting a new artist. One of his new artists got up there and was opening the show. And the artist sucked, I guess, to the crowd. And they didn't react to it. So he felt some type of way and just ended the show.
I'm out.
Can't accept my artist.
What? I respect that. Buying a ticket to a concert is a two-way agreement. It is the performer's going to put on a good show, and I'm going to bring some life to the party as well. Like, all these artists, and Jay Moore, you probably know this, like, they feed off of a crowd, too.
Yeah.
In these concerts. You need to bring a little life, too. That's on you, the ticket buyer.
You can't ask me to pay for a ticket and then in 30 minutes go, I don't like the way you're acting. I'm out.
Cap, now, this isn't the opera. This is Lil Wayne.
No. There comes a production and there comes a guarantee that he's going to give you your money's worth.
Yeah, but you got to bring it a little bit too, because you can't get your money's worth unless you're bringing it. This isn't a poetry slam.
Hold
all right?
on a second.
We're not snapping for poetry here.
I'm going to quote the guy whose show you produce, Sylvie. You fan how you want to fan. If I want to sit there and not show any emotion, but maybe deep inside me I'm loving the show, well, tell me I'm walking out after 30 minutes.
Then don't expect a great performance from Lil Wayne, because he needs the energy.
What Lil Wayne should have did was open the show, halfway through his show, introduced his new artist, then closed the show. I think the crowd would have reacted better that way instead of just throwing an unknown up there at the beginning of the show. They don't know his music, they don't know him, and it's kind of awkward.
Wow. All right, we've got to take a timeout. Was Lil Wayne wrong? And the Bulls miss out in the lottery. We'll get into all of it. 312-332-3776. Back in 2 minutes.